Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Have you ever been burdened for your friends or for your relatives because they aren't saved yet? You know, why don't you tell them about Jesus Christ? Or why don't you witness to them again before it's too late? Now, I realize that the decision to trust Jesus Christ rests with each individual. And we cannot make the decision for them. We cannot persuade them, twist their arms, and make them come to Christ. I understand that. However, we are the preachers, and we are sent by the Lord so that others can hear of their need to call upon Jesus Christ. I mean, when you read Romans chapter 10, we're not talking about professional preachers and missionaries here. Look what he says. Romans chapter 10. He says in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now that's true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he asks this question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Or how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, that's not addressed to professional preachers. That's addressed to all of us. Because don't you pray about the whole armor of God? I'm sure you do. And don't you know that one piece of the armor of God is to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Of course it is. So you and I have an opportunity, because of our close connection with our friends and relatives, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps in a way that nobody else can. And here's the deal. We need to tell them before it's too late. You see, in the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have a perfect picture of someone who waited until the last minute to tell his family of their need to follow the Lord, and it was too late. In Genesis chapter 19, we have the account of Lot in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have the angels coming to Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have the destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Zeboim, and Admah. Zoar is the only little town that escaped, because that's where Lot ran. And in this particular passage of Scripture, when Lot knows now that the angels have come to destroy the city, and he has been told by the angels to go and talk to any of his family about the coming destruction, he leaves, and in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 19, the Bible says, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Listen, by then it was too late. I mean, in just a few hours, because this is in the middle of the night, the sun is going to rise and fire and brimstone out of heaven are coming down upon that city to destroy it. And those boys and those girls to whom they were married did not get out of the city. So, you know what we want to do? We want to study what happened here in hopes that this study will encourage us to get the news to our friends and family before it's too late. You know, to keep from waiting to tell others about Christ until it's too late, there's some things we need to remember. Remember that, first of all, building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls. Think about it. Building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls. I'm not saying that building your wealth is not important. I know the Bible says labor not to be rich, but I mean, in order for you to pay for the car you have or the house you're in, you're going to have to keep a steady job, and you're going to have to be good at managing your money. But it's not more important to build your wealth. It's certainly not as important to build your wealth as it is to preach the gospel to the souls of your friends and family. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Look what got Lot down in Sodom in the first place. In Genesis chapter 13, look at verse 10. You see, at this point, Abraham and Lot have such great possessions. Their herdmen are chiding with each other and contending with each other over grazing rights to the land. They've got too many cattle. And so in Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. To raise cattle, you got to have plenty of water. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham had given him the choice. You say, you figure out which way you want to go, I'll take the rest. So, seeing the well-watered land, seeing the wonderful grass for grazing down there, that's where Lot went. And in verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Lot said, you know what? That's okay. I mean, I realize these are bad cats. That's okay. This is too good a land to pass up the opportunity. Like Bob Jones Sr. said, it was a great place to raise cattle, but it wasn't a good place to raise a family. Now, you can tell that Lot spent a great deal of time with his cattle business. In other words, he was already very successful by the time he moved down there, and he didn't move down there to become a flop. When the angel showed up in town in Genesis chapter 19, you know where he was? He was sitting in the gate at the end of the day. Look in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night. So it's nearly that time of day anyway. It's almost nighttime when they get there. And he knows these are special people. He bows his head with his face toward the ground and says, come on in. But he's in the gate of Sodom. Listen, he's no longer out there with the cattle in his tent. He has moved into town, and he is sitting in the gate. Listen, the gate is where the town decisions were made. This guy's an official now. He was a busy man. The trouble is, he was too busy to concern himself with his children's souls. He was too busy to concern himself with the spiritual welfare of his family. So by the time he came to warn them of the impending destruction of the city, well, it was as if they were hearing about the Lord for the first time. I mean, the Bible says in Genesis 19:14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. I mean, it's like the first time they're ever hearing about the Lord, and he's like, the Lord's coming to destroy the city. Get out now. And they're like, what? His sons-in-law thought he was mocking. You see, when you wait until right at the end of somebody's life to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, they may get saved. The thief on the cross did. But listen, why are you going to wait? You don't know when the end of the life is going to be. You think you know that they're going to live to a ripe old age and you'll get around to this sometime, but right now you got to do your business. No. Building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls. You've got to open up the door at some time and begin talking with your family and your relatives and your friends about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, it's been a long time that I've been saved and they don't know that I'm saved. I understand that. I lived through that. When I was in the banking business and my life got turned around, I started telling my friends and associates about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, it was a little strange to them at the time, I have to admit. But you know what? It wasn't as if I was mocking. I didn't wait until they're, you know, on their deathbed or until there was going to be some calamity. I began to sow the seeds of the Word of God while I was doing my work. Listen, you can do your job and preach to their souls at the same time. Building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls. You don't have to wait till you're retired to do this. If you do, you're not going to get to them before it's too late. But that's not all. To keep from waiting to tell others about Christ until it's too late, remember not only that building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls, but secondly, know this. Maintaining your reputation is not as important as bearing the reproach of Christ. You see, the reason that a lot of people don't want to tell their family and their friends about the Lord Jesus Christ is they don't want to be called a Jesus freak. They don't want to be singled out or called out for their new spirituality. They don't want to be put under the microscope of having to, you know, kind of live a better life now as evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is inside of you. And they kind of want to still be able to go to the party, you know, still live it up, but, you know, have the knowledge of going to heaven and just not tell anybody. Let me tell you something. Maintaining your reputation is not as important as bearing the reproach of Christ. Again, in Genesis 19, verse 1, when the angels came to Sodom, Lot was in the gate. And when the men of the city came to sodomize those angels, Lot went out to plead with them. And look what he says in verse 7. He said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Do you understand? He's calling the people of the city who are the homosexuals that are getting ready to try to sodomize these two guests that he has in his home. I mean, it's a violation of the custom of that day for people to come and violate your guest. You know, you think it's strange that Lot would offer his two daughters to satisfy their sexual appetites, which are virgin daughters, but the custom, and you can read this as you read your Bible, the custom is when you take a guest into your home, you have to give him more protection than you do anybody else. You take on the responsibility not only of his comfort, but of his care and safety and protection. So Lot goes out to plead with them, and he calls them brethren. And these are the guys that are getting ready to tear up his house. Boy, your reputation is really something if you've got to call the people that you're hanging around that are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly your brethren. I mean, Lot had really elevated his reputation in this town. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 19, verse 9, that he had come there to sojourn. These fellows are complaining. They said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. He came there to sojourn, and now he's sitting in the gate and calling the heathen in that city brethren. You know, that's a man who is a lot more concerned with his reputation than he is with bearing the reproach of Christ, taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, that some of those heathen might turn and find themselves with the Lord instead of burning in that flame. Listen, you can't carefully cultivate your reputation and bear the reproach of Christ at the same time. It's not possible. Moses, when he was in Pharaoh's house, had to make a choice. And he chose to bear the reproach of Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26, esteeming, this is Moses, Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Notice what he said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. You know something? Bearing the reproach with Christ is truly of much greater reward than earning a reputation among peers. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And look at verse 13. Easy to remember. 13:13, right? Hebrews 13:13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Talking about Jesus Christ. In other words, if you and I take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, we are going to bear some reproach. It is going to affect our reputation. But maintaining your reputation is not as important as bearing the reproach of Christ. Because if you don't bear the reproach of Christ, they're not going to hear the gospel. And if they don't hear the gospel, they're not going to get saved. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 says this. 1 Peter 4:14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Do you see that? Now, are you more concerned about them speaking evil of you, or are you more concerned about God getting glory by you bearing the reproach of Christ? See, you've got to make that choice. Listen, if you want to get the gospel to them before it's too late, you have to understand it may cost you some of your reputation, but that's better. Bearing the reproach of Christ is better than maintaining your reputation if it means the salvation of their souls. You see, to keep from waiting to tell others about Christ until it's too late, remember that building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls, and maintaining your reputation is not as important as bearing the reproach of Christ. But then there's another thing. Retaining your separation is not as important as reproving their sin. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we want to see something about Lot here that's recorded for us in the New Testament. And keep in mind the point of this section. Listen, retaining your separation is not as important as reproving their sin. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, Lot lived in that city among those wicked people, but he did not participate in their wicked deeds. He maintained a separation because he did not want to be a heathen like they were. So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Watch it. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. All right, so he had to put up with this nonsense. He had to see it, and he had to hear it, yet he was a righteous man. So he retained his separation from it, but he had to listen to it and see it all the time. Kind of like you coming home and watching television after you've been at work and seeing all that filth and hearing all that filth on TV. Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what? But it doesn't appear that he ever opened his mouth to reprove them. You see that? It's like he never said anything. Hey, you guys are a bunch of wicked heathen. God's going to get you. It's not like he ever said anything about it. And you know what the Bible says? Open rebuke is better than secret love. John the Baptist, I realize, got his head cut off, but he went to Herod and he said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. The children of light are supposed to reprove the wicked that are around you. It's not that you're trying to be better than they are. It's that God is better than they are. And the only way they're going to hear about that is they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to have the light of the Word of God shined on their sins so they'll know that it's wrong to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, there's your separation. But, he goes on to say, rather reprove them. In other words, he doesn't say just be there and be silent. He says reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So that's what we're supposed to do. Well, now, when Lot showed up to warn his sons-in-law, there's no wonder that they thought he was mocking. They'd never heard him speak negatively about their sin before. You know, when Paul is writing to Timothy and he tells him to preach the word, he says, reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. To preach Christ, to be able to fulfill what Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15 say, you're going to have to reprove their sin. You're going to have to rebuke. And as you don't go out of your way and say, you know what, you oughtn't to smoke that cigarette. You oughtn't to drink that thing. You ought to just be there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that subject comes up, because it will, they always bring their sin up, then you can show them what the Bible says about that. We had some friends that were preaching to a fella, and it turns out that he was married and having a relation with another woman. And he could show them from the Bible, that's adultery. And so you've got to turn from the sin and receive Christ. Hey, listen, a lot of people are ignorant of their sin. I mean, they know they're having difficulty, but they don't know what God thinks about it. If more people could see their sin from God's perspective rather than their own, some more people would be inclined to change. So remember that retaining your separation, that's important, but it's not as important as reproving their sin. I mean, honestly, if you reprove their sin, it'll help you retain your separation. And then notice this. If you're trying to get the gospel to somebody that you love before it's too late, you're going to have to put yourself aside, right? Building your wealth is not as important as preaching to their souls. Maintaining your reputation is not as important as bearing the reproach of Christ, and retaining your separation is not as important as reproving their sin. You got to step out and say something. One more thing. To keep from waiting to tell others about Christ until it's too late, remember that waiting on a divine appointment is not as important as regularly sowing the seed of the Word of God. Look in Genesis chapter 19 at verses 12 and 13. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? These are the angels talking to him. Son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Now look, maybe Lot was thinking in his mind, one of these days I'm going to have a ripe opportunity to talk to these boys, but right now I got some business to do, and I don't want to hurt my reputation. I want to leave the door open, blah, blah, all the excuses, okay? We get the idea sometimes that we got to wait for just the right opportunity to open our mouths with the gospel. But listen, divine appointments like that are rare. Philip had a divine appointment with the eunuch. God sent him over there, said, go talk to this guy. And he happened to get there just when he was reading Isaiah 53. But I'm going to tell you what, most of the souls who come to Christ have the seed regularly sown in their hearts. Many of the people that I've had the opportunity to lead to the Lord over the years were people that I visited with on numerous occasions and gave them a little bit of gospel here and there and prayed for them all during that time. And over time, the continual preaching of the Word of God kind of broke up the fallow ground, allowed a seed to drop in and then root in and sprout, and they came to Christ. Listen, you're way better off sowing the seed regularly, many times, not just once. You know, some people say, well, I preach the gospel to them, so the blood's off my hands, bless God. Well, why don't you go back and preach the gospel again? Because why? Because the Lord then has something to work with. I mean, he can set up a divine appointment for you if you'll sow the seed regularly for a period of time. I mean, I can remember some of the guys over the years that have gotten saved. Man, we had to sow the seed with them for years before that ripe opportunity came to harvest a soul. So waiting on a divine appointment, waiting for that just that perfect moment to go finally get up the nerve to go tell them about Jesus is not as important as regularly sowing the seed of the Word of God. And it's obvious that Lot was just not a regular enough influence in the family's life with the gospel to let them know that one day these judgments were coming. And so by the time he shows up to tell the boys about Jesus, I mean, not about Jesus, but about the Lord coming to destroy the city, they're like, man, are you crazy? So what's the conclusion of this? How are we going to keep from waiting to tell others about Christ until it's too late? Well, listen, you know that everyone whom you know is going to eventually die and face God at a judgment. You know that. And you also know that if they die without Christ, they are going to burn in hell, just like the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah burned up in their cities. You know that. That's as certain as the sunrise. You know it. The only thing you don't know is when they're going to die, and you don't know how they're going to die. In other words, you're thinking, well, they're still young, and they get a little older, maybe in the hospital, I'll talk to them about the Lord. No. They could drop dead tomorrow of a heart attack, of an accident. So you and I need to develop a habit of regularly sowing the seed with our friends and our relatives. We do. We need to quit being so concerned with continually working. We need to quit being so concerned with fearing ridicule. We need to quit being so concerned with refusing to reprove sin. And we need to be a lot more concerned with regularly sowing the seed of the Word of God and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How are they going to hear without a preacher? How are we going to get the message to them before it's too late? We got to get past ourselves. We got to quit worrying about what's going on in this wicked world like Sodom and Gomorrah around us and condemning it in the privacy of our own homes. We just got to step out, get to our family and our friends, and begin sowing the seed of the Word of God so it doesn't come as such a surprise to them when we have a divine appointment and an opportunity to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get to them before it's too late. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.